I want to say this morning before I get into our talk together is just I am so thankful for this congregation and the work that you do. There are just things I hear that are going on, conversations and calls and visits and caring for one another that don't get advertised, that no one knows about, but you all are doing the work of the Lord, and I just wanted to say thank you for that and for the light that you bring in a world that sometimes can be very cloudy and sometimes very, very dark. So thank you for your Christian witness, especially during this time. Well, the headlines are ominous, aren't they? A few of them I'll read. Coronavirus pandemic is sweeping the world. Hospitals prepare for the worst. Shoppers are finding empty shelves. 40 deaths from coronavirus in Washington state. First case of coronavirus confirmed in Indiana. When we face times like these, there's a quote that often comes to mind from an essay that Emerson wrote when he said, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are small matters compared to what lies within us." At times like these, we have to learn to take everything in that's going on around us and not let the vibrations of fear and panic overtake us. As Christians, we have within us a discerning, powerful, prudent, and a calm assurance. That's our inheritance. Paul tells us that's our inheritance. It's our gift as a people who walk in a well-lit and a well-ordered path. And in times like these, they'll either bring the worst out of us or they'll bring the best out of us. And as Christians, I want to implore us this morning to let this time bring the best out of us. And what we find within us will determine how we face and how we overcome the challenges that come our way in life, including the current challenge. If we find within us fear and panic on the one hand, or naivety on the other hand, what lies behind us and lies before us will surely overtake us. But if we find within us a spirit of power, and a soberness, and a reasonableness, and an assurance, and a strong prayer life, and decisive action when it's needed, what lies before us and what lies behind us will be no match to the power that lies within us, and that power that comes from within. And so the psalmist tells us in our reading this morning that it's in times like these that those who draw upon the Lord, who dwells within us, will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph. Now, the mass of people are not reacting in that way. They are not reacting and living as reacting as if they live and move in a spirit of power or soberness or reasonableness or assurance or decisive action when it's needed. Frankly, they're losing their heads. Let's first of all look at a few ways in this current coronavirus situation where the worst has been brought out of people. Maybe not so bad, but not so good, is that all of a sudden everybody gains a sudden experience in topics that just yesterday they knew nothing about. Everyone has suddenly become an expert on the coronavirus. Their expertise is typically driven by fear and not facts. No medical training is needed. No need for years of study and experience. All you need is an opinion. And that brings out the next thing, is that everyone is opinionated with this newly acquired knowledge. Knowledge about what we should do and especially about what others should do. About what Congress and the president should do or what they're not doing, or the local school superintendent or the workplace. All of a sudden, we're experts and we have a very strong opinion. It's interesting, too, that for the longest time, people who never trusted the media and never trusted government all of a sudden have required a new trust in the media and government, because now it seems like they're believing everything they say. A government and a media that just weeks ago was untrustworthy and fake, now the masses are reacting to sensational headlines as if it's the gospel truth. Isn't that interesting? Another thing that has brought the worst out of us is, rather than acting like sober, reasonable, prayerful individuals as part of a community of faith, so many people are acting like a massive blob, or a mob, you might call it. Having been collectively instilled with fear and panic, people are beginning to act really quite predictably, as masses do. En masse, they're rushing to the stores to buy up toilet paper and even fighting in the aisles in order to squeeze the Charmin. If you're over 50, you probably get that, right? And it's interesting that when the masses are convinced of something, whether it's real or not, they are quick to grab their proverbial pitchforks and find someone, and in fact anyone will do, to blame for the crisis at hand and then proceed to crucify them, whether it's Congress, the president, the local school superintendent, the governor, or your boss. And even though people are responding as a mass mob, they are no doubt also operating from a very selfish center. The fact that I can't find a single roll of toilet paper or a bottle of hand sanitizer in the store or online is proof that people are acting only in their interests, and to heck with the rest of the beehive. Of course, all these behaviors indicate a deep fear of the unknown, and that's certainly understandable. When people fear the unknown, that's one of the greatest fears that can overtake a people. Fear is a great biological mechanism for us. If it teaches us to run from a reasonable threat, and if it's tempered by the use of our rational minds and spiritual discernment. But that's not often the case when it comes to fear. Fear is not often, our decisions in response to fear are often not accompanied by rational insight and spiritual discernment. Fear typically takes the reins and results in mass hysteria and individual selfishness. I don't know if we've seen the worst in us yet, if the panic around this virus continues to grow. I hope the panic doesn't drive people and then their fear to worse things. But for many people, this situation has not brought out the best, but it's brought out the worst in human nature. But what about the best of us that lies within us? What does a Christian response to the coronavirus scare look like? Well, it will bring out the best in us. For one thing, and I think it all begins here, it begins with an assurance. We sang about the blessed assurance this morning. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's the kind of assurance in Christ that we have, and we need to be reminded of that. That whatever we face, boy, as societies have faced terrible crises. Think of London and the bombings during World War II as an example that may come to mind. All kinds of crises that a people have mustered strength and gathered a resolve and said, we are not going to be scared and we are not going to be defeated, but we are going to take prudent measures and decisive measures to do the right thing. When we have a blessed assurance and we're reminded of it, and we live from that center, we make wise, rational, prudent, decisive decisions and take decisive actions. So I think if the best of us is going to emerge in this situation, it begins with a blessed assurance, a calm assurance that Christ is with us and that God will lead us through this storm. There's an old Gaither song that we sing it usually around Easter, "Because He Lives." It says, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives." And then Jesus tells us in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." So it begins with a calm assurance. And I think that calm assurance also builds in us a reasonableness. A reasonableness that if we can trust in this God, then we can reasonably be assured that God will take care of us and that we need to draw from this God within us to make reasonable decisions ourselves. Now, if your source of information on how to respond to the coronavirus is based on the latest internet memes or your neighbor's amateur pontifications, you're probably not well informed. And you're probably going to respond with panic and fear. But instead, I think it's wise to, for one, go to official sources. Go to other medical leaders that maybe you have come to trust over the years. And look at a lot of different sources. Don't get your news just from one place. And begin to kind of discern what are the trends here? What are the commonalities? And also listen to that voice within. I think as Christians, we should learn to cultivate a responsiveness to that voice within, to that Christ who lives in us. This Christ within us is always taking in the data and is always nudging us to make reasonable decisions regarding that data and make spiritually informed decisions about that information that we have and then make good choices and to trust that that voice within will guide us in all things. I think Proverbs chapter 3 offers good advice in listening to this inner voice of God when he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight." So it begins with a calm assurance that Jesus is mine. And then it from that builds a reasonableness, listening to that voice within. And then we're called to respond with soberness. Having been informed by trustworthy sources and reviewed and filtered by this wisdom that's within us, we're to respond with a calm cheerfulness. We're to face the bad and the good with a calm cheerfulness that is befitting of a people who walk in the light. People who walk in the dark, the sky is always falling. People who walk in the dark, they are driven by fear, by a selfish fear. But we are told to walk in the light. We have received a noble inheritance, Paul tells us. And that noble inheritance is strength in times of trouble. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 tells us, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So he doesn't say stick your head in the sand. He doesn't say pretend like nothing's happening. But he says be watchful and be sober-minded. Use good judgment. And again, seek that judgment from the Christ within. Don't let a crisis drive you into panic and fear. You have a mighty power who dwells within you, who inhabits your mind and who flows throughout your entire being. So be sober, mindful, and watchful. And draw upon the power that lies within you. And you can be assured that what lies before you, behind you, and what lies before you are small matters compared to that which lies within you. A couple more things I'll mention, and we mentioned this during our time of prayer, and that is to look for opportunities to offer care for others in the midst of this time, of this battle that we face. It's very, the worst of us comes out when we become insular and we draw in and we think only of ourselves. When there, as we heard during the time of prayer this morning, that there's a whole community, there is a whole nation of people who are suffering from the responses, from this virus and the responses to it. Financial struggles, childcare issues, relationship issues, health concerns, obviously. So we should take this time to look for opportunities to offer care, Christian care, to other people. And in these upcoming weeks and perhaps even months where there's a self-imposed isolation or perhaps a mandated quarantine, we need to be sure and reach out to one another. Maybe not by a letter, I said that earlier, but by email, by phone, by social media. To be in contact with people. Do not become an insular, isolated people, even if we have to be isolated physically. Why don't we share a kind word? Why don't we share a word of encouragement, letting folks know that they're not alone, but that we all walk with a loving God who is within us. And let them know that what lies behind them and what lies before them are small matters compared to what lies within them. And then finally, pray. In all things, prayer. Christians are to be a praying people, praying without ceasing, Paul instructs us. Because in prayer, powerful things happen. For one thing, in prayer, we learn to listen. We learn to listen to that discerning voice of wisdom, that voice of light who dwells within us, who is the Christ. And in prayer, we learn to walk by that light. And not in the darkness that the masses walk in selfishly. So if you're not a praying person, this is the time to become a praying person. And I find as I talk to people that people say, I don't know what to say. Well, don't say anything then. Just set and say, Lord, I am before you. And I sit with you in this moment. And if it's 5, if it's 10 minutes of silence, that's prayer. And the Lord speaks to us in those moments. The Lord speaks to us in times when we give our attention to Him and we clear out all of the clutter that's within us and we say, Lord, this time is yours. May I hear your word for me today. Teach me what to do during this time. Teach me who I can help. Teach me how to be a light to the world. Give me strength. Give me calmness. Give me a sober mind. Make me watchful. All of those things that the Scripture tells us to do. May we be a people of prayer. And then let us sing with the psalmist, as we heard this morning, who said, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. And surely the righteous will never be shaken, and they will be remembered forever. Let's pray together. Father, in this time that we face, may we not move to the vibrations of panic and fear, but nor may we stick our heads in the sand and naively pretend that nothing's going on. But may we be a people who look within and find there the power of the Christ who dwells within us. And from that deep well of power, may we find wisdom. May we find direction. May we find an abundance of grace and love. Teach us to be a people who are assured, who are reasonable, who are sober-minded, who are prayerful, and who take decisive action when it's called for, guided by your light. And as we do that, we will give you praise and glory now and forever. Amen.